The Bibles this morning, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. There is a man that tells a story of staying with his friends, and his friends had a hamster called Hammy. And Hammy had a warm nest of cedar shavings to curl up in. He had a water bottle to drink from, and best of all, he had that wheel that he could run inside of. He had everything a hamster could want, everything he could desire. But Hammy refused to run inside his running wheel. Instead, he came up with what he thought was a brilliant idea, a better idea of how to use the running wheel. Hammy would climb on top of the running wheel. He would turn over on his back, and then the wheel, because he's turned over, he would slip a little bit, and the wheel would start going, and sure as the wheel turns, it would slam him straight down into the bottom of the cage. He would reel a little bit around, and guess what? Hammy didn't figure it out. He would climb back up because inside the wheel obviously wasn't the place for, you know, you to get in. He would climb back up on top of the wheel, lay down again. It would start spinning. Boom! Right there, slamming to the bottom of the cage. Over and over and over. He'd shake himself off, apparently hurt, a big blow to his head, but he climbed back on top. The family and the friends, they'd sit there and watch Hammy over and over. Little entertainment there with a little stupid hamster. But as I read of the story of Hammy the hamster, I thought of our text here this morning, because our text talks about a boy that in essence does the same thing. He's stupid. It doesn't make sense. And you'll see as we go through our text, and as we talk about it, that it doesn't make sense, but that's what sin will do. This morning we want to talk about the far country. We want to talk about the far country. Look at verse 11 in Luke chapter 15. And this is Jesus talking. And in this passage you'll see that Jesus talks about three things that were lost. He talks about a lost sheep. He talks about a lost coin. And here we see the story of a lost son. In verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. As we go through this, I'll try to explain a little bit. In Jewish society, when you were sons, you would get an inheritance. In Jewish society, the oldest son would get two-thirds, and then the other sons would get the rest of it, the last third. It would be divided among all the other sons. Now we see here that there was two of them. So the oldest son, and we see him later on, he was going to get the two-thirds. But the younger son, he could claim that third. And so he comes to the father and says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Notice in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, some people would say, well, what does that mean, riotous living? Well, it's kind of explained to us in verse 30. Look at verse 30. His older brother is kind of mad and irritated at his father later in the chapter. And we see a description of what riotous living is. But as soon as this thy son was come, this is the older talking about the younger sibling, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. So here we see riotous living is a life of debauchery. It's a life of immorality. It's a life of sin and vice. And look at verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. There in that passage there, the husk. In the Jewish society, they would have what was called carob pods. And there is even a saying in the Jewish culture. It said, when Israel is reduced to the carob tree, they become repentant. And so here we see that he ends up not just working with the swine, but eating with the swine. And for you and I, we would say, well, he just became a farmer. Well, not for a Jewish person. Remember, if you know the Old Testament law, pork was forbidden. It was something that you weren't supposed to be near. You weren't supposed to be, you were supposed to stay away from those type of things. And so now he's not just working with them. He now has to eat what they eat. And we see that in verses 12 through 16 then, the description. Going back to verse 13, it says, and not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the guests that came in with us. Some, maybe they have come for a little while, for a few weeks. Lord, they've been pondering on Christ, even as the testimony was given this morning. Lord, then we're going to present to them the life in the far country. We would ask, Lord, that you would deal with hearts. You would show them that the life in the far country is not a good life. Lord, may they see the solution. And may they come to Christ here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you mean to us. We thank you for Christ and for salvation. Lord, deal with our hearts. Lord, bring conviction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here we're going to talk then about the far country. What is the far country? I think you can see it here. This young man, and he's at his home, and I picture it as a pretty nice spread. The reason I picture that is because we can see in the description that later on in the chapter, the young man starts thinking back and he starts thinking about the servants, the hired servants that his father had. He can think about the things that his father had. In fact, when he comes back, his father grabs some of the servants and he says, hey, get this young man a robe. And so it seems as though he has closets with robes. He has garments that are there in his house. It also seems that at his whim and at his wish, this father can go out and he can kill some animals and he can put on a feast at any time. And so in my mind, I start thinking of where this young man lived. And I'm thinking it's a pretty good place. I'm thinking that it's a nice place. It's a nice spread. I can almost see the fence as it goes around. I can see maybe some cattle off in the distance. And man, you come walking in, it almost seems like a proper home. But something got into this young man. Something got into this young man. And all of a sudden, maybe he didn't like the rules and regulations. Maybe he thought, you know what? I just need to spread my wings a little bit. Maybe it was in this home that as they were talking about Scripture, he said, yeah, but I've heard, it's been said by folks in town, in the village, they say there's a place, they call it the far country. Man, I sure would like to visit that far country. And here we see this young man comes to his father, and he says, you know what, demanding from his father. And right there, this should give you a hint. This should give you a point right away when you're thinking about going to the far country. Because the only way he could go to the far country is with the goods his father gave him. And as I think of that, some people that mock at our Savior and mock at my God, the only reason they are able to mock with their tongue is because God gave it to them. And it amazes me that people that mock at God and people that ridicule our religion and ridicule Jesus Christ, Christ made them. He gave them life. That's our Savior. That's our Father. But God the Father, this is a picture of Him. God the Father, as this young man comes, He gives him. He gives it to him. Showing you and I, in the area of salvation, that you have a choice this morning. You have a will. Oh, our Savior is not willing that any should perish, but He's not going to restrict and restrain you and drag you down the aisle and say, you must bow to me. No, that's not our Savior. Our Heavenly Father, He's a gracious Father. He's a merciful Father. And as He comes in this young man, I'm sure that this father knew where this son was heading. And the son then starts on a journey to the far country. Man, it sure seems to be fun at first. It sure seems that, man, there seems to be a lot of life in that far country. It almost sounds exciting until you look up and see what the word riotous means. I mean, you put the idea of riot in anything, especially in the last week or two. I don't really think that I want to be in the middle of a riot. But here it is, riotous living, raucous living. Man, living it up, I've got it all. And we see that he spent it all. And then notice what happens. There arose what? Not just a famine, a mighty famine. And this is what you can understand about the far country. The far country, once you get there, and this is both for those, I believe the picture of the far country is a picture of sin for you and I. And there are some here that you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have been living in the far country. There are some of you that are saved. And you have gone to your Heavenly Father and said, give me that which I am owed. And some of you have forsaken your Father and you have headed off into the far country of sin. And there it is. You have spent it all. And that is exactly what happens in the far country. There is no saving in the far country. There is no investment in the far country. You know what it is? In the far country, all is spent. And then all of a sudden, when all is spent, there is a mighty famine. And the famine comes upon you, and your belly starts growling, and your lips are parched. And you say, man, I have nothing. And you'll see in our text that he even goes to some of his so-called friends. And his friends want nothing to do with him. You see, in the far country, when you have your inheritance, you're a popular man. But after you have spent all, and now there's a famine, everybody in the far country only thinks about themselves. That's all anybody is caring about. Hey, how come you got more? Give me that. You can almost see the viciousness now among the people. They're grabbing and tearing things away. Give me that. It is a riot, isn't it? Riotous living there now, and they're grabbing for everything for themselves. Why? Because a mighty famine has hit. And a mighty famine will always come in the far country. And then what happens to this young man? We locate him. Can you smell it? Can you sniff? You can sniff your way to this young man. And you may not be able to smell it. Because maybe this young man maybe couldn't smell it because there he sits in the midst of these swine. There he sits and it says that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat. He would have never thought, man, that far country, I was there in the village talking to those folks and the far country, it seems so appealing. But now he sits there in a mud hole. And I'm sure now with mud caked upon him, and he nudges one of those swine as the snout is next to him, and he nudges this swine, and there he pours some of the food out, and he starts munching right there with the swine. And you'll notice a great phrase. Great phrase found in verse 17. And it says here in verse 17, and when he came to himself. Oh, my challenge to you this morning, saint or sinner. Get to the place where you come to yourself. In this famine that is there, sitting in the midst of swine, with the muck and mire and the stench, please come to yourself. Come to yourself and say, oh man, look where I'm at. It could be that as a saint, you've gone away to the far country and you're running away and you think, man, I'm going to spend it in riotous living. Come to yourself, please. Come to yourself. Look around. Smell the stench. Look at what has happened to you. And when you come to yourself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Oh, as a saint, do you remember the time when Jesus was there as the bread of life and he broke it there and he fed you? Do you remember the time that you thirsted and he said, come to me and you'll never thirst again. And there you partook of the bread and there you took of him as the water of life and you weren't hungry and you weren't thirsty anymore. That's your Savior. That's your Father. Come to yourself as you sit there in that far country. But as a sinner, we must come to the point that we see the wreckage around us. And that is a very important point in the area of salvation. We must come to the place that we see what we have caused with our life. Because Jesus says, the Bible says, all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And as I sit in this pigsty, I realize that all my good, all the intentions I had of having a wonderful life, it's gone. It's over with. And I sit in that pig pen, and guess what happens? I need to come to myself. Oh, the far country is there when you escape the invitation of God. The far country is there when you escape the intervention of the Spirit. The far country is there when you try to get away from the indictment of your conscience. The far country is there when you try to escape the influence of good. All of that is the far country. The far country is there, and sometimes even as a saint, I long for it, and I start heading down that road to the far country. My challenge to you as a saint, someone that has accepted Jesus Christ, you may be heading towards the far country. You're sick of it. You're tired of God. You're tired of your Heavenly Father. I'm not doing that anymore. Come to your senses, please. Come to your senses and notice when he came to himself. And this is a point for all of us to understand that sin will almost make you insane. Sin will make you act ridiculous Because that's the far country. And the far country will have you sitting snorting with your friends. Can you smell them? Now I can almost hear them. Yeah, there they are. There's nothing wrong with me. Hey, give me that, you pig. Some of you, maybe you enjoy that far country, fellowshipping in the muck and mire, fellowshipping with your friendly swine, the stench, the food. But at some point, guess what we need to do? We need to come to ourselves. The Bible says, and he came to himself. And then in verse 18, he says, I will arise, go to my father. Say unto him, look at what he has to say. Father, what did he say? I have sinned against what? Heaven and against thee. So now my challenge to you is to come to yourself. But then, in Hebrews 11, you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible doesn't tell us about a far country. It tells us about a man named Abraham. And guess what, Abraham? He didn't look for the far country. He searched for a better country, whose builder and maker is God. And my challenge to you, you that are lost in sin, and you've gone away to the far country, come to yourself, look at what your life is at, and then start back on the road to home. And what is amazing to me when you read this is that the road to home starts with I have sinned. I have sinned. I've transgressed. You will never make it back home until you come to the point that you say, I have sinned. I am a sinner. And I need Jesus Christ. Because what have you done on your own in the far country? All you've done is spent all. And now it's a famine in the land. And you're hungry and you're thirsty. I challenge you. Start back home. Start back home. And how do you start it? You start on the path by saying, I have sinned. But notice what happens. He arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, and don't you think on that pathway back home, don't you think that the devil was there and he was saying, hey, stop. Stop, they're not going to accept you. Even in his mind, what did he say? Man, the hired servants have more than me. I'll go back and I'll just be a hired servant. Don't you think that Satan was there and he was saying, hey, he's not going to accept you? You will not be welcome home. And the devil has whispered to you, don't bend the knee. Don't repent of your sins. Hey, the road is too hard. It's already been hard, hasn't it? Oh, what has Satan given you? He's taken it all. He's spent it all. And now you're in a famine. And now you're there with the swine. And there is shame. Think about that with a Jewish person. There is shame there. And guess what? There is always shame when you choose the far country. There is always remorse. There is always regret when you choose the far country. And you will sit there. And until you get up and you come to yourself and you say, I have sinned, Lord. Until that happens, you'll stay in the far country. But you notice in our text what happened. He came, but when he was yet a great way off, look what happens. His father saw him, had compassion. He ran. This is not the son. This is the father. He ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Well, I tell you here this morning, that's your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father, he's there waiting. He's waiting there on the road and he's looking out for that sinner. Oh, sinner, You've wandered far away from home. Won't you come back? Won't you come home? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. He sits there, and he's there waiting for you. And all of a sudden, he sees that son. And he looks, and he sees him off in the distance. He sees that son. And he doesn't stiffen his neck and turn around and say, he deserves it. No, that's not your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is there and he's watching. He says, it serves him right. Look at you all muddy, messed up. Look at you, you scrawny individual. You call yourself a man. That's not my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father is there watching and he runs. And he approaches that young man. And he says, welcome home. That's your Heavenly Father. Satan has sold you a bill of goods in the far country. He has told you that, guess what? You turn around and it could be as a saint here this morning. He has told you, you come back to God and that repentance, it's going to taste bitter. Oh no, there is no bitterness coming to your Heavenly Father. The bitterness is there, sitting in the muck and the mire of the swine, eating the carob pods. That is the bitterness. The bitterness will stay, but as soon as you say, I have sinned, I repent, and I will now head home to my Father, what you will find is your Heavenly Father will greet you. Your Heavenly Father will come running to you. Because if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. That's your Heavenly Father. And you'll notice there's three things that the Father gave him. You'll see it here in our text in verse 22. He said, bring him a robe. Because going to the far country as a saint, guess what you took off? You took off that robe of righteousness. You set it down and you put on that worldly garb and you said, man, this is enjoyable. But now your Heavenly Father says, no, 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 come back. Let me clean you up. And I've got a new robe for you. Notice what else he says, and put on him, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. You know what that ring? That ring was a sign of ownership, a sonship. And I don't know what happened to that son. I don't know if he sold it. I don't know if he hocked it. I don't know what he did, or if maybe one of the swine ate it. But that ring wasn't there. And he said, no, 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 let me put that back on. You're my son. And then notice he put sandals on his feet. You know what your Heavenly Father does? He takes care of you. He takes care of you, and then he notices. He maybe gives you a hug, and man, he's like, whoa, feel a lot of ribs there. Looking a little skinny, scrawny. Kill a fatted calf. So my son was lost, but he's found. Why stay in the far country here? Why are you dwelling there this morning? As a sinner, you're dwelling in the far country, and maybe I described your life. Your life here this morning, and you know what? There's misery there, and it's emptiness, and inside there's a famine. And what is, that famine indicates a hunger there, and there's a hunger for righteousness. There's a hunger for God, but you're in the far country. And will you turn to Christ here this morning? Your Heavenly Father is there watching. And he calls all people to repentance. He says, oh, come home. And will you come to Jesus Christ here this morning? Jesus Christ loves the sinner. I don't understand that because I myself stand before you as a sinner. I stand before you as one who had wandered far away from God. And at some point in the far country, I had to come to myself. And the devil said the same thing to me. Don't go. It'll be embarrassing. Think of those servants. They'll laugh at you. No, oh, but no, you come to Jesus. And he's running to greet you. He brings you in and he puts a banquet feast before you. And man, all the sweet delicacies are there. And then in my mind, as I sit at the banqueting table and I think back to what the devil tried to get me to stay with. Why would I want the far country? Why do you want the far country? The famine is there. The swine are there. The muck and mire are there. And your friends are gone. Read a story this week. It was in the 1830s. It was in the state of Massachusetts. There was two young men. And these young men had strayed far away from God. They had decided to start to return back to the Lord. They visited some churches, some meetings, and they weren't really all the way ready to repent of their ways. The weeks went on, and one of the young men was feeling the burden of conviction. And he found out about a prayer meeting that was coming up, and so he talked to his other friend about going to this prayer meeting. The other friend had been invited to a fancy ball. The young man that was going to go to the prayer meeting said, no, 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 you can't go to that, because he knew there would be drunkenness, there would be dancing, there would be other vices. But the young man said, no, no, no. And he said, after the ball, maybe I'll come and I'll return to the Lord. So the one went to the party and the one went to the prayer meeting. The young man at the prayer meeting, God got a hold of his heart. It crushed him. It tore him up. And man, he experienced God like he had never experienced it before. The other young man was at the ball. He went to reach for a young lady's hand to escort her to the dance floor. And as he stepped onto the dance floor, his heart stopped and he fell over. The young man that had gotten right, that was his brother. And his heart broke for him. Oh, why stay in the far country? Why stay there? God's been pleading with you and saying, come home, come home. Don't delay. How much time do you have? Will it be right outside here? Will it be tomorrow? Will it be another day? Do you know the measure of your life? I don't. I don't know the measure of my life. I don't know how long I have. So why delay? Why stay in the far country? Saint or sinner, get away from the far country and come home. Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. Return, I plea, from the far country. Your Father's arms are opened wide. Don't delay with speed engage. Hasten, son. The banquet awaits. You left with bags and dreams and ambitions and have found misery, hopelessness, and seditions. So come home, my son. The road of repentance is not that long. The far country has done you wrong. We plead with you today, saint or sinner. Flee the far country and come to the sweet home beyond. Will you come to Christ here this morning? This morning, as we have presented the far country, and maybe that's where you've been. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. God has convicted you. God's convicted you. That weight is there of sin. I'd like to pray for you this morning as we close. It will not get you saved. But is there someone here this morning that would say, I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior? As you spoke, God, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Would you pray for me? I am not saved. I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you have the courage to slip up your hand there this morning? Is there anybody like that? You'd slip up your hand and say, the Lord convicted me in that far country. Is there anybody here this morning? You'd slip up your hand. All right, thank you. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. Anybody else? Balcony? Down below? What about Christian? I spoke to you too. I believe that passage also speaks to the saint. I believe theologically it can be applied to the saint because the Heavenly Father had a son. If I trust Jesus Christ, I'm his son, but sometimes I go to the far country. Because the far country is a picture of sin. Have you gone away from Christ? As a Christian here this morning, have you been doing your own thing? And are you now in famine? Will you come back to him? You'd say here this morning, God convicted me about that far country. I'm saved, but God convicted me about that far country. The devil's tempting me in this area of sin. He's pulling me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? Is there anybody like that here this morning? All right, thank you. Slip up your hand. All right, thank you. Anybody else? I see a couple on the balcony. God's convicting you. All right, thank you. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. As a Christian, God convicted you about this far country. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? All right, thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you deal with hearts. Lord, whether it's a Christian that's being pulled to the far country or it's a sinner, Lord, that has never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that you would bless the invitation. Thank you, Lord, for what you do, for what you mean to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing with